Dr. David Nichols.
Hello, Pete.
How are you this morning?
I am doing well.
You were traveling south this weekend.
I was down in Chicagoland.
Man alive, what a precious place to be.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had people healed in the morning service. Brought a word about American Christian in the night service.
Whoa, Doc, you're spreading this out a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah. It's starting to cover the Midwest.
Right.
Well, you know, we're starting American Christian. This is our 10th episode. I don't know if it's a milestone at all, but
yeah,
we're moving in and through this. We've been, our third week?
Yeah.
And we are... I think that we're really liking it, and I think for me, the big part of it is that it is driving me into the Word as well. And so when we get into the Word, we know that things start to change, and the way that we see the world, the way that we see heaven begins to change, and things
right.
start to have a definition.
The Word of God has that power.
Amen.
To effect change.
And no other word on the planet has that capability.
That's
other
right.
than this written word.
To turn us to God.
Amen. To turn us to God. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about this morning.
Sure
about
are.
We're going to go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Judges, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Judges cycle. There's a cycle that takes place there.
Right.
And I think that, you know, if you've been a Christian for some time, you've probably come into the book of Judges. There are some famous and not so famous judges, right? I mean, there are the ones that we talked about Gideon
right.
a couple weeks ago.
Like Samson.
And Samson, that we hear about those guys. But there are others that we are going to just kind of...
Yeah, in further sessions, we'll go into some of those individuals. And I realize, you know, we mentioned this way back in the beginning of American Christian, but now we're going to really lay this out as a foundation out of Scripture. Because it really is, this passage we're going to look at today is foundational for understanding what revival is.
Ooh, okay.
So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you." This is the angel of the Lord speaking. This is the Lord, really the Lord himself speaking. "So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Mm. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel each went to his own inheritance to possess the land." Then let's read verse 7 too. "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Hmm. And really, this passage is kind of like a mini version of what the book of Judges later on is going to describe. But it starts with this powerful encounter with the angel of the Lord. And it leads us, this chapter does, leads us next into, you mentioned it before, Pete, the Judges cycle, which, let's just lay it out here. There's five parts to it,
okay.
and then we'll read some verses that really show what it is. Okay, the Judges cycle is this. Number one, the people sin against God, and that's always recorded in these passages. Number two, God responds by sending judgment. Usually it's in the form of foreign armies. Sometimes it's a plague or a pestilence, but usually it's foreign armies invading the land and taking them captive.
Hmm.
Number three, the people cry out for mercy because they're under whatever the plague or the armies or whatever it is. They cry out for mercy. Number four, God hears them, raises up a judge who is a man or a woman who is mightily anointed by God to lead and to lead a deliverance from the situation. That happens. And number five, the people serve God during the time of the judge. Unfortunately, the cycle is when the judge dies, people start forgetting about God, new generation comes, another generation, and they'll fall back into the whole thing. And this whole book is generation after generation living through that from the time of Joshua pretty much up to the time of the prophet Samuel.
Right.
And it's an amazing story.
Now, some of these cycles are also long and some of them are short.
Right.
Right? Some of them can go 40 years and some of them as few as...
Some 80 years.
Good. That's a good thing for the people.
Right.
So, do you think that God is setting up judges today? Are there men who are anointed that are leading? Maybe it's not at a national. Maybe it is at a national. Maybe it's at a state or regional. Like people start to listen and hear the word of God. I mean, is this? Do you think that this is a cycle of like? Could this be looked at as revival? People get revived. They start serving and following the Lord. They start to keep his commandments because here's this judge. I mean, it's a good thing, really, when we come into a place of knowing that there's someone that's fighting.
Yeah.
And that's standing up for the Lord.
Standing for righteousness.
Yeah, right. It's a big deal.
It is. And the answer is yes, but we have to remember what we also pointed out very briefly back when we started the podcast was the Old Testament pattern is cyclical, goes in a circle, comes back around these 5 points.
Right.
The New Testament pattern is more continuous, at least what we can see from the New Testament. Now, we really only have a little more than a generation in the New Testament, so that's different. In the Old Testament, we have many generations.
Right.
But if we can marry together, so to speak, the cyclical nature of revival in the Old Testament and the continuous nature of it in the New Testament, because that really is what happens in church history. The two of them get married together, and there is still... As much as we'd like to say it's been continuous fire, glory, power with no turning back ever since, you know, the day of Pentecost.
Right.
When we study church history, we find that really is not the case.
But there's always seems to be a fire somewhere.
Yes.
Right?
That's true. And so, that's the continuous part. That
right.
I think
there's
is truly
there. These tributaries that came out of that went off into India and they went up into Europe and eventually they crossed the pond and they came here, which obviously took a while. But still, there's... I like that. That's interesting review.
Right. So let's jump down then to verse 11 there in chapter 2, where it says, Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroths. Ashtoreths, it is here. That's the female manifestation of that god slash goddess. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Note the cycle that we just talked about.
Right.
Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord and did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their own stubborn way.
So they didn't cease from their own doings or from their stubborn ways. That right there comes right into 2021.
It does.
We become stubborn in our own ways. The things that we do and being able to turn away from, really, you know what, should you be watching that? Should you be listening to that? Should you be going there? Should you enter into that conversation?
What is a regular church attender in America in 2021? The statistics say it's a person that goes one time a month.
Yeah. You know, if you're really good, you're going like three times in 5 weeks or something. It's some crazy number like that.
You know, and it's not that church attendance by itself saves you.
No.
But it is an indicator of your desire to be with the people of God and to worship God and to draw near to God. Right, Pete?
Yeah, amen. And I think that's the thing. But something's come in and has blocked that.
Yeah. And, you know, you can talk about COVID, and that did cause some stuff.
That did cause a little.
You know, there were times last year when churches were actually closed, and that's another whole issue for American Christian. Maybe we'll take that up in another session.
Ooh, maybe we ought to take a look at when we get even farther down the road, we would go, this was what the effect of COVID was on the church.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're already starting to report some of it.
Right, right.
But
just to note it now, and then how do people recover from that? You know, everything went online, and now it's like some of them are online, some of them are in church, some of them are just falling away, and that's the tragedy.
That is the tragedy.
And again, it isn't that church attendance is the be-all and end-all of the whole Christian life, but there is an indication there of something.
Right. Right.
So that's part of applying it, I think, to our world today. And another part of it is, sad to say, the people of God falling into actual sin. And
I mean, it's one thing to be born into sin,
mm-hmm.
to come to repentance,
mm-hmm.
but then to fall back into it, Doc. It just seems like that's a cycle that I'm familiar with in my own walk with the Lord. I think there's probably people out there that can identify with that, right?
Right.
But there's some of us that, well, I don't know. That's got to be like everybody. I mean, the flesh does rear itself up and wants what it wants, right?
Right.
And unless you put down a marker and say, look, I'm not crossing over that boundary anymore.
Right. And then you got these gods that and goddesses that drew Israel aside into these various perverted worship realities that really got God ticked off. And that's another whole subject.
Should we talk about the Baals? Should we talk about Asherah?
I think we should.
Because, you know, if we in our worldview today, what does that look like, and what was happening back in the times of Judges? Because these Baal's been around for a long time,
thousands of years.
He's coming. Yeah. He came in, was part of the Canaanite culture, right?
Yep.
These were the people that occupied the land before,
yep.
Joshua brought them in.
Right.
So it's as though they were supposed to come in, take the land. I mean, that's really...
And drive all that out.
Drive it out. That's the first chapter of Judges.
Right.
But they didn't. And what is it? Is it the human nature of wanting to...
Yeah, it's this. You said it a little while ago, cultural. See, when they came into this land, there weren't people standing at the Baal altar saying, hey, Israelites, this is demonic worship here. you know, if you ever do this, you'll really get in trouble with God. It wasn't that way. It was just like now. Everything is cultural. Everything, it's what people do.
Right.
In a normal day, in a normal week. What do people do in America?
Mm.
And some of the things people do in a normal day, in a normal week in America are sinful. If we could pull back the curtain,
right,
and see what's behind there,
right,
they are radically terrible, sinful things like abortion of unborn babies.
Ugh.
And that has become almost so mainstream now. Even many Christians are, well, you know, yeah, I personally oppose it, but what can you do? Well,
my body, my choice, Doc.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, and there's the cultural thing.
Right.
But that very practice right there is the worship of a god named Molech. He's not mentioned in this chapter, but he's mentioned a bunch of other places in the Old Testament.
Yeah, he's coming on scene in a little bit here.
Right.
So, you know, one of the thoughts that I had about the Baals, because this was the god of fertility, right?
Exactly.
The god of the soil and marrying up with the rain.
Prosperity.
And, yeah.
And the economic reality of life was tied up with Baal.
So what did the Israelites know, being desert dwellers for 40 years, what did they know about agriculture? What did they know about growing crops? When they would look at the Canaanites, they'd go, well, these people got it going on here. They're growing things. There's an agriculture. There's a harvest that's coming forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you do that, Joe Canaanite? Well, let me just tell you.
Yeah, you go over to the Baal temple over there and bring some sacrifices, you know, like grain and fruit and stuff, and you offer it to Baal.
And this is the evidence.
And here you go.
Can't you see the evidence in the ground that this is what our God is doing?
That makes sense, right?
That's exactly the thing, is that this whole idea behind logic and reason starts to come into play. I mean, they don't know about the sciences, or the cycle of rain, or these kinds of things.
Right.
So, and then what about Ashtaroth? I mean, I've tried to really, you know, dig into that, but there's not a whole lot that's written down, but there's the evidence of things, right, with Ashtaroth.
Well, and that the worship of Ashtaroth was... sometimes you went with a male cult prostitute, and sometimes you went with a female one. And the very name of Ashtaroth itself, it varies back and forth between the feminine form and the masculine form in Hebrew, tells you that there's a real issue of gender confusion that Ashtaroth was about then. And that now, with all the technology and drugs and so forth and so on that
surgeries
we have now,
and aptitudes.
Now it's gone to a whole new level. So, but there is a direct application right out of this chapter right here. We read it. Ashtaroth was there, and the Israelites are worshiping it. And the reason this is all so terrible. Because you might, as you understand these idolatrous things, you might say, well, yeah, cultural, you know, and we have them too, and you just, you know, it's just something you do.
Right.
The problem is God, the Lord God, in his love and his care for his people, had laid down a law of righteousness, a law of holiness for his own special people to protect them from the outcomes of all these terrible deeds.
Right.
And so there you go. So you get to the question of then what really is sin?
Okay.
Right?
Now we're into our first point.
We are.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so what is sin, Pete?
Oh, that's a... I would say that sin in and of itself is anything that is not set right in God's eyes.
That's right.
That's really super general, right? Like without naming specific sins,
right?
It's a non-compliance to the law of God.
Right. So would it be something like this? It is not obeying what I'm about to read to you right now.
Okay.
Where it says, in Exodus chapter 20.
Okay.
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Small g gods before big G God. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And the way you hate God is by rebelling against his revealed truths of how we should live this human life on this earth.
Right.
But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Just one little quick comment there.
Yes,
the medical people, even today in our modern world, have agreed that if our bodies do not get into a cycle of having rest at approximately 7 days, it starts wearing us down and leads us straight to a well-known phenomenon called burnout.
Oh, how about anxiety?
But God just gave all these, God just gave all these laws because he's this big tyrant up there that just wants everybody to toe the line. Right?
Right. What am I supposed to do if I need milk for my baby on Sunday, Doc?
Well.
What am I supposed, right? Like, there's a lot, if you just
go to the store and buy it.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
go on Saturday.
Yeah, you haven't sinned if you go to the store on Sunday.
No, but okay. But a lot of this stuff is like we've weaved our way into a convenience.
Well, that's true too.
Right?
So it goes on here, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Oh, well, I'm glad my neighbors drive Cadillacs and Harley Davidson motorcycles, I guess.
But there, what we just read is called the Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So what is sin? Failing to obey those and not doing them is sin.
And this is just 10 of...
Those are 10.
Oh,
those
man.
Are the main 10.
Those are the big 10.
These are the big
10. The big 10.
That's right.
The big 10. Well, right, and then in the New Testament, Jesus even takes this into a deeper, right, into the heart issues.
Word. You're
right?
Going to bring that up.
Well, we got to.
I mean, you should, but I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, well, just even.
What did Jesus say?
Just take one.
Just.
With murder.
Oh, yeah.
He says that if you hate,
you've
committed murder. You've
murdered him in your heart.
And why is that? Because hate is the seed of murder.
It is.
And it starts to grow.
That's right. And then later on in the Gospels, of course, Jesus, they come to Jesus with all these commandments. He says, hey, I'll just give you two.
Oh.
We don't have 10 anymore.
This
will take care of the whole thing. Number one, love God.
Yeah.
Number two, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. Right.
Oh, man.
Well, I think that we can love God, but it's hard to love our neighbor as ourselves because that guy has got those dogs over there.
And they bark all
And they're barking all the time. Or whatever the thing is.
Whatever it is.
Their kids are trampling on my lawn or...
Broke one of your tulips. Huh?
Yeah. But what about lying?
Oh, man.
Here comes the cycle, right?
Right.
Generationally through even your own family line.
Right.
But we could have new listeners out there that are like,
wait a minute, like, how can, is there any hope in all of this, right? But anyway.
Yes, and so that's what sin is, and sin is present in every culture. In fact, it's present in every person, according to the Bible.
Right.
And you can't step into this world and be part of it without being polluted by sin. The Bible teaches that very clearly. But because of the promises of God and the truth of God and the love of God, of all things, in the midst of talking about sin and talking about judgment and talking about wrath, because that's what Judges is all about,
right?
We also have to talk about the love of God, because why would God go to such lengths to make this clear to us, except he loves us, does not want us wallowing in this stuff that we were not created for. You've got to start from the premise that we were created by the hand of God for good.
Right.
We were created in his image. We were created male and female. It took a man and it took a woman, a male and a female, to represent the wholeness of the image of God to the physical realm. And that's how he made us.
Right.
And there it is. So God knows much better than we do the outcomes that will happen by doing these various sins. What if you start murdering?
Oh,
I mean, it's going to get easier and easier. People talk about this. Even a thing that is not murder. Think about this. Our soldiers, when we train them and we're in a war with another country,
right?
There is a barrier you have to cross over to be able to shoot a gun and to kill another person. Now, in war, it's not murder. It's a declared
killing.
War. It's killing. Necessary to, you know, for all the reasons. That's another whole subject for another day.
Yeah.
But you have to get over that. But think of murderers. They got over it a long time ago, and they said, oh, wow, here we go. You're going to kill more, and you're going to multiply the sin and the woe. So what about the family of the person that got murdered? And what about the murderer's own family, what they have to go through? The stress and the the terror and the horror of it.
Right.
God gave the law so that wouldn't happen. That's his opinion.
Well, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. And then when it gets fulfilled in Jesus, of course, it gets even better. Because now
there's a way out.
Salvation comes to us, and we actually get changed on the inside, so we don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
We want to follow God. So that really does answer the question, why does God hate sin so much that there would actually be a cycle like this that would go over and over and over again? The point is, God is not going to treat us like robots. He's not going to treat us like automatons that we're okay, now I set you up and you're going to do this, and this is all going to happen according to a computer program. No. We are free to will and to choose either good or evil, either righteousness or unrighteousness. God just says, if you choose unrighteousness and if you choose evil, here's what's going to happen.
Right.
And over and over and over again, people don't believe him. So in Judges, he says, well, here you go.
Let me show you.
Amorites, here's the Midianites, here's the Philistines.
Oh.
And you're...
It was
literally
almost like you're getting set up for failure when you start to deviate from what God wants for you. When you start to go down the path of I'll choose.
Right.
I remember that term coming into my life probably 20 years ago. A friend of mine had I'll decide, and he wanted to make T-shirts. I'll decide. I'll make the choice. But I think that we have the evidence of I'll decide written all around us everywhere we go now.
Right.
As that people are making choices that are not healthy for them and not healthy for their families.
Exactly.
Which means it's not helpful to the community, which means it's not helpful to the world. Everything falls into chaos.
So here's the question that's before us then for the American Christian.
Yeah.
Can the church rise up and be the church in this hour in the United States of America? can we address the cycle of unrighteousness, the cycle of rebellion, from the perspective of we have been bought with a price. Mm. We have been put under the blood of Jesus. It is the resurrection of Jesus and the cross of Jesus that determines the course of our lives. And we're not going to be pulled. We're not going to be deceived by this stuff that is just, oh, it's just swimming around out there in the culture. No, friend, dig down below the surface and see what's really there. Mm. And if it's real, actual sin, flee, run from it, and have nothing to do with it. And you will find yourself, I believe, at the beginning of personal revival.
I think this idea, this personal revival, you know, we started talking about that way at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting to me is that now I'm starting to see it in magazine articles.
Mm.
I'm starting to hear it through the airwaves on some of the religious program that programming that I'm watching. I'm seeing it in the newsletters that are being sent to me. And it wasn't because we saw those things, we were like, hey, personal revival, that sounds like a really cool thing. No, there is an undercurrent right now with the people of God knowing, right, that if revival's going to come, it has to start with me.
Right.
It has to start with the way that you're walking.
No, wait, it's the guy that lives down my street down there, because he is the guy, he does all this stuff.
Right. Oh, if he changes, then I will.
Or the guy in church that sits three pews up from me.
Oh, you know. No. Right. No. Yeah, we really do want. There's something about that, too. There are. But this is also the other thing about judges. It's that God raises up a man or a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, he may be calling you right now. You may start to hear the fact that God is trying to get your attention.
What if you were the next Deborah?
What if you were the next Gideon?
Gideon.
Oh, my goodness.
Or Samson.
Oh.
Get to the gym. No. No. It was supernatural.
Stay away from the barber. Yeah. Yeah, it was a supernatural thing. But it's a supernatural thing today.
Right.
There's a change that's taken place in you. You are made in the image of God. You've been quickened in your spirit. God has something more for you. And we've been hearing this too, but it's the idea that there is more. It doesn't matter if you're a mega church pastor, an evangelist, a world traveler. It doesn't matter if you're healing the sick or feeding the poor. It doesn't matter if you're being a good neighbor. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's so much more.
Wow. Let's pray for that into our hearers, Pete, could we?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. I'll pray first. Then
all right, you go.
Okay?
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for this word that has come today. And actually, this is it. There is more. For each person that will draw near to God, you will draw near to them. So, Lord, we give you permission today to reveal sin and even reveal where we haven't sinned yet, but we're being drawn toward it, and the temptation is just getting greater. And unless something happens and intervenes, it's not going to be good. We just challenge that today with the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And with the finished work of Christ on the cross and in the resurrection, that good can come forth and prevail. And each one of these sons of yours, Father, each one of these daughters of yours that is listening today, we just release upon them blessing and favor as they draw near to God, as they recognize this cycle, trying to work and trying to bring these different steps, even with themselves and even with people they know, even with their families.
Yes.
Open our eyes, Lord, to see what's happening in front of us, that we walk in true discerning of the times and discerning of spirits and discerning of what is happening.
Yes, Lord.
So that we draw near to your awesome presence, Jesus, and know you and walk right with you. We thank you for that.
And Lord, we just ask also, Lord, that you begin to create the space around these mothers and fathers, grandparents, Lord, aunts and uncles. Lord, that you would begin to create a space around them, Lord, so that you can speak to them, Lord, without the enemy coming in to lead them astray. Lord, create the space in their households. Lord, create the space in their work environments. Create space, Lord, as they find themselves alone, Lord, that they would draw near unto you. Lord, the ball has been placed into our court. Lord, if we don't come near to you, Lord, then that transaction gets halted. So, Lord, just create space. Lord, allow them to hear the messengers of the angel of the Lord. Let them hear the messages, yes, Lord, that they're coming down from heaven, Lord, because these angels are ascending and descending, Lord. They're coming and going day and night, night and day. And Lord, what are they doing? Lord, they are coming to deliver a message, and when that message is delivered, they're ascending back up into heaven. Lord, there is a constant communication that's going on in this world, Lord. But Lord, I also ask, Lord, that you would give favor, Lord, to these men and women who have young children, Lord. Yes. Lord, that they would be challenged to train up, to train up, Lord, righteous boys and girls that will draw near unto you, Lord, that they will become mighty men and women of God. Thank Lord, you, that Lord. They would speak, Lord, and do and act as you have called them to do so, Lord, that they would not be fearful, Lord, of the culture, but, Lord, that they would demand, Lord, that that heaven would come down and fill this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. We didn't even get through half of this. We're going to have to come back again tomorrow.
I guess we'll have
to. Well, I'm excited about that. Well, you know, this is Heart of the Father Ministries. You can reach us at, you know, hey, don't turn off yet. Just listen. You can get to us at www.heartofthefather.net. This is our series that we are doing right now called American Christian.
And remember, you can get your free revival.
Oh, are you still giving away free?
We're still giving away.
We're going into a second week?
Hey, we are.
Oh, hey, you know what? We sent one out the other day.
We did.
We did. I was impressed.
I gave away 10 of them this weekend at the church.
So good. So if you're looking for, think about that. Think about personal revival. What must I do? This book that we're giving away for free.
Written by Pastor Eric Hansen.
So You Want Revival is the. And there's a warning on this particular book as well. So when you get that, make sure you read the back of that book to heed the warning that. Well, I won't give it away.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Let it be a surprise.
That's a nice surprise.
Yeah, but just send us your address if you want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Through snail mail. You can do it through Facebook Messenger. You can do it on our website.
Everything's there.
info@heartofthefather.net.
Correct.
And we will ship it right out to you. Okay, so remember, there's more.
There is more. God bless you. Take care. Pete Cooper and Dr. David Nichols.